Our gospel lesson this fourth Sunday of Advent is the lectionary reading for this Sunday. It comes from the first chapter of Luke's gospel, verses 39 through 55. This is an encounter between Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. I think if we took a poll this morning of 1,000 churchgoers, so you, us, if we took a poll of you folks and you were asked to summarize the ethos of the New Testament in one word, just one word, I think I know what the word that the majority of you would choose to do that. Now, I could just go around the room and point to some people, like I see Britt Milner looking at me, and let me just ask you, what word would you think most people would choose to gather up the spirit of the New Testament? Oh, love. Very good. Very good. That's exactly what I was thinking. Perfect. Love. Now, it's not that the word love is pervasive in the New Testament. No, but it's the ideas gathered up so frequently. You know, you think about when Jesus is said to, when he is asked to respond to, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And you know the passage, and Jesus quotes Deuteronomy and Leviticus. He says, "You must love the Lord your God with everything that you are. And you must love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself." Love. If you go to the epistle 1 John, there we read, God is love. And if you go to 1 Corinthians, if you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard Paul's version of things from 1 Corinthians. "If I have not love, I am nothing." So love is very central to who we are. So, four candles we've lit so far. Anybody name them? Hope, peace, joy, love. All right. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Chris, you almost got them. That was good. And that means today that we lit the fourth candle. We lit the love candle. Now we must reflect on what that means and how that impacts our lives and our celebration of Christmas later this week. The celebration of incarnation, enfleshment, the celebration of Emmanuel, God is with us. Now this may seem like a pretty straightforward undertaking. You know, God is love. Okay, great, wonderful. Light that candle, which we did. But it's a little bit more complicated than that, folks, as it more complicated than it first appears. You know, love is complicated. We all know that. Love is very complicated. It's not so easy to define. Love is one of those words, and we've talked about it many times, that is used in so many different ways that it doesn't mean anything anymore. It's kind of like the word nice. You know, what does nice mean? No one knows what it means. Everything's nice. You know, what does that mean? That's just the way it is with the word love. What does the word mean? Okay, what is that candle all about, folks? Okay, think of all the things that you say you love. Just think about that for a second. Just think it through your head. You love, I love. Now probably, and that's my favorite thing to say, you love your spouse or your significant others, and you also love pizza. Those two things. So someone who's never heard the word love hears you say that, what's the connection they're going to make between the pizza and your spouse? I don't know. Love is so frequently used that it's lost any real substantive meaning. All right, so what, you say? No big deal. It is a big deal because God is love. God is love. If God is love, don't you think we should be more careful with the way we use the word love? Don't you think we better hold that word and concept closely in our hearts and only use it sparingly and selectively and reluctantly? If God is love, how can we ever use that word without trembling? Without our voice wavering? When we hear the word love, shouldn't it send shivers down our spines because it is intertwined with the essence and nature of God? God is love. That's deep stuff. So the question for us on this fourth Sunday of Advent should be, how are we going to save this holy and sacred idea from the trash heap of the ordinary? Well, I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it, so you don't have to worry. I'm going to tell you how to do it. We're going to save it by reclaiming it, okay? And we're going to reclaim it by redefining it and then embodying it. Friends, we need to light this candle. And not just right this second, over and over and over again. Okay, God is love. Now, if we accept the statement that God is love, then it would seem to me that in order to understand love, we must first understand God. In essence, God's being defines love instead of the other way around. Now, the question then becomes, of course, how can we ever begin to understand God if we can't understand love? Anyway, it's circular. Friends, it's very simple. We begin with the one through whom the community, encountered God and thus encountered and defined love. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. And of course, the poet Christina Georgiana Rossetti expressed it this way. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. So to see God and to understand love, you don't have to engage in complex theological reflection. No. You just have to look on the dusty roads of Galilee, the hillsides of Gerasa, the streets of Jerusalem, a Bethlehem manger? Read the scriptures, and there you will see the nature of God revealed and love defined in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Love incarnate. Love incarnate. Again, our friend John. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is this life that defined love, and thus God, for us. Jesus healed the sick. Right? He liberated the possessed, cared for the unloved, enlightened those who walked in darkness, reached out to the dispossessed, forgave the religiously ostracized. If you want to know about love, you need look no further than that. If you want to know about the nature of God, then go light that candle. Light the love candle. Now, I don't remember where I first read this story. I've shared it with you before. I think, don't quote me on this, I think it's from one of those books, Chicken Soup for the Souls. You remember any of those books? There are about a million of them. And for every single possible person, you know, and I was at early service, you know, there's Chicken Soup for the IBM employee, or, you know, whatever. I don't know what book it was, but I think it was one of those. And it was a story that's been told many times, and it was about a young man named Mark. And Mark was a very quiet and a very shy young fourth grader. And one day, Mark came home from school, and he said to his mother, "I'm going to make a Valentine card for every single person in my class. Every single kid in my class, I'm going to make one." Well, when his mother heard this, her heart sank instead of soared. It sank because she knew that Mark was an outsider in his fourth grade class. She watched every day as Mark and the other students walked back to their homes at school. The kids would be running and playing and jumping and doing things, but then Mark tagged along by himself, never included with the other kids. He always walked alone, but despite this, Mark wanted to make a Valentine for every single kid in his class. So he went out. The mother reluctantly agreed. They went to the store. They bought construction paper and glue and crayons, all the stuff you might need to make cards. And for 3 weeks, every night, Mark made cards with Mom. Counted them out, 35 of them for the kids in his class. For 3 weeks, nothing else. Finally, Valentine's Day arrives. Mark sorts them out, puts them in the envelope, puts them in the little paper bag, folds the top down the bag, out the door, heading towards school. Well, to help alleviate the pain that she knew was coming, Mark's mother made his favorite cookies to greet him when he came home from school that day. She just knew he'd be disappointed. It broke her heart to think that he wouldn't get many Valentines that day. Maybe he wouldn't get a single Valentine. Well, about 3 o'clock, she heard the children coming up the street as they always did, and she looked out to see what was happening. Sure enough, here they came. And she looked out, and they were laughing, and they were jumping around, had all sorts of time. But Mark was not with them. Mark was in the back, way behind this group, and her heart just fell apart. She could hardly hold back the tears. He walked in the door, empty-handed, and she said, "Hey, sport, how about some cookies? I made your favorite cookies." He didn't say a word. He didn't seem like he didn't hear her at all, and she just could hardly stand it, and all he could say was, "Not a one. Not a one." But then, he said words that changed the world, that changed her life. He said this, "I didn't forget a single one." Today, we light that candle, the candle of love. 1 John 4:12, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is perfected in us." About 2 weeks ago, the young disciples class, fourth and fifth graders, like Mark's class, fourth and fifth graders, collected toys and over $5,000 that you gave so generously. Then they took that $5,000 and they bought more toys, and then they gave all the toys away. They didn't keep a few stashed inside for them. No, they gave them all away. They lit the candle. They lit the fourth candle on the Advent wreath. Last week, a group of you hosted the Great Minds kids from our Great Minds after school program and their families for a Christmas dinner, and you lit the candle. You lit the candle. We filled Salvation Army stockings and the Ark of Wake County tree. You know, you took tags for that. We lit the candle. About a month ago, toward the end of October or beginning of November, we did the packaging event. 100 of you gathered in the fellowship hall on a Saturday, and you put meals together. You lit the candle. You lit the fourth candle. You know, through your generosity, every Christmas Eve, you fund what's called the Pastor's Discretionary Fund, and that money goes, just does all sorts of good things in our immediate community. And over the years, you've given tens of thousands of dollars to that, as you've lit the candle. And your outreach committee works tirelessly to identify new ways to light that candle. There are many other things. I can't think of them off the top of my head here this fourth Sunday. But today, we celebrate love. The love of God that was poured out into this world through Jesus of Nazareth. And now, through those who he embodies, through us, we continue that same thing of pouring out love into this world. So it doesn't have to be as complicated as people make it. You're already doing it. And I want to close with this. Mary summed it up. Mary, Mother of Jesus, sums it up very simply. A long time ago, she put it this way. My soul magnifies the Lord. That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing. God is love. So your task this week is to light the candle. To light the fourth candle in your life and through your life. Thanks be to God. Amen.